Okay, tonight we're going to go far, come a little bit closer, and then we're going to come home. Are you ready? All right, our first speaker comes from far place. We're kind of careful about saying the name, but we'll leave it up to him if he wants to tell us where he's from here. But we love him. We enjoyed his portion at the Faith Promise banquet a while ago. And would you welcome Pastor Satellite?
Okay, so we push the pulpit. Okay. There's a greeting from Tianjin Church, Great Grace Church, China. and it's so amazing to be here. Really like to be going home. So thank you everybody. Warmly accept us, me and my wife Karen. And also so nice to my son Nathan. Yeah, so beautiful growing up here. Yeah, thank you, God. And briefly share a little bit. Please open your Bible to Colossians chapter 2, verse 19. Colossians chapter 2, verse 19. All right. And not holding the head, from which all body by joints and bones having nourishment ministered and knit together, increase with the increase of God. Father, thank you for this person to edify everybody here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yesterday, Pastor Shabili preached a wonderful message. In his message, he told us, in this corrupt world, he used the four words to describe the corrupt world. And the first one is wicked. And the second one is evil. The third one is pollution. What is the first one? Perverted, yeah. So that is the world we face today. As a great, great church, we meet the situation. It's like this. How can we save us from this evil world? And Pastor Schaller, in his message, he gave us answer. We built our church on the rock. It's the only way. And in China, we have a sayings like this. We 摸着石头过河. That is mean when you're crossing the river by feeding the stones. You touch the stone, you go through the river. It's like there's stone over there. If you go to the river, it's a river. It's just the one by one. To touch the stone, then go to the next step. Then next step, sorry. then go through the river. If you have not touched the stone, you may be drowned. Yeah. So this world is so wicked. And Pastor Shala said, the evil want to attack us. He never stop. He never rest. So every moment we need to touch the stone. So as believer, we live in this world. How do we touch the stone? Very simply, we touch the stone by going to the church. Because our church is built on the stone, built on the rock. So we come to the church, it's simply we in the church, where the church built on the rock. Yeah. Church are a mystery. Nobody can understand what is the church mean. He's belong to heaven, but he on the earth. He combined the supernatural with the natural. We are with the flesh, also with the spirit. We come to the church. The church is like a meat grinder, a flesh grinder. So it's amazing. We can be edified by people's love, mercy, and encouragement. We also can be edified by hurt, by offense. So when we got offended or fall down, we stumble, we think about this simple question. Why am I got hurt? Which part of our life get hurt? Is the flesh or is the spirit? So I got to fall down. It's because somebody just make me fall down, or because my life is not built on the rock. We think of the simple questions. So if we love the word of God, nobody can stand over the stone. So nobody can make us stand if our life is built on the rock. So people in this church, somebody you like, maybe somebody you don't like. You get edified from the people you like, but also you can edify by the people you don't like. When you see people you don't like, that is me in your heart. Something happened in your heart. It's the same as you see from other people's life. So you can see your brothers speak in his side. That me in your eyes, what in our eyes, is a being of wood. This is simple. This can only be happening in the church. And you can edify by love. You can also edify by hurt. You can edify by people you like them. You can also edify by people you don't like them. So that is a mystery of the church. So our church is built on the rock. So do we believe that? Yes? Yeah. Because we have the finished work message, we lift up Jesus Christ. No other stranger doctrines space. No other room for the stranger doctrines. We have the grace message. The grace message just magnifies God's nature. No human flesh space to manifest themselves. So that message, that category doctrines, we believed in that message, and Jesus' life revealed in everybody's life. When we get together, we are shown to the world there is a body in this world. This body, his head is Jesus Christ. He revealed God's nature on the earth. That's beautiful of our church. Yeah. So I just finally I want to say something about just do not defile the temple of God, as 1 Corinthians chapter 3, maybe verse 16. And if we destroy the temple of God, God will destroy us, because the temple is holy, and we are his body. We are his temple. So don't take this great church so lightly. Take it granted. And don't have the familiar spirit just taking us to the church. It's not so many churches like us. Yeah. So, you know, in China, so many years I served in China, I never heard any other church people come to us. They know the word body life. They never heard of that. That is not good news. It's not good news. So we take care, just treasure this body. Every time we come to the service, we pray to God just to reveal himself to us, not take it for granted. And secondly, I want to say, no matter what happens, don't leave this church. John chapter 6, I forgot verse, when the disciples left Jesus, and Jesus asked Peter, and will you go away too? Will you go away too? And Peter said, to whom we shall go? You have the word of eternal life. So to whom we shall go? Here have an eternal word of God. They have body of Jesus Christ. They are love. They have love from God. They are life from Jesus. So we are the simple people, as Pastor Shana said. Everybody has take the flesh to the church. We can hurt each other. We can edify each other. Also, we can offend each other. Even the pastor can offend other people. Yeah, we are simple people. It's a Chinese lady in the countryside. He so loved his pastor. And the old lady sees pastor like a holy man. He's holy, perfect. So one day, he saw his pastor come from out of the bathroom. He was so disappointed. So he said, you go to bathroom. So we are people go to bathroom. Yes. So sometimes we hurt people in the church, but it's a great opportunity. God can use that to build us up together. Yeah. So in the couple of years in church Tianjin, there are three church leaders leave the church. So you can know what pastor I am. Yeah? It's a pain. Heavy spirit. Confused. But God is so great. And he can work in our heart. So years later, the three of them come back. So I know this decision is difficult. But the coming back is beautiful. So the church is so treasure. The treasure of heaven on the earth. So we be with the church. Anything the church they have, we go come to the church. We come to the service, right? We come to the convention. We come to the Eurocon. We come to the Asia conference, India conference, Finland conference, everywhere conference. It's not the lighter things. We build our life with the church on the rock. So even we just go out to build a church. To build a church is to build yourself, your own life, with the church on the rock. Amen.
We're coming a little bit closer now. And, Canada is not a 51st state of the United States. All right? You know, it is its own independent country. All right? Right? And Pastor James Didetis is from Montreal. And welcome him.
Thank God all you Americans have us Canadians to keep you safe.
Yeah. Where would you be without us? Hey, isn't the band amazing? Let's give the band a hand. Awesome. All right. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. If you're there, and I don't know what happened. I just lost my notes here on my iPad, Pastor Shabelli. What's going on? Hey, what a great convention we're having, isn't it? Isn't it amazing? What a great theme we have, built on the rock. And as we heard in the messages last night, built on the rock for spiritual warfare. So that's so timely. And we are, you know, we heard it. We are all in a spiritual warfare, aren't we? We're in a spiritual battle. And the enemy is relentless. So it's so good to have a place where we can come and be prepared, right, every year. So let's read in 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll just take it from verse 3. It says, "If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Have we tasted He's gracious? Thank you, Lord. "To whom, coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices accepted to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded.'" So Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all great messages we've been hearing, the fellowship we have. And just anoint this time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so here we are. We come as onto a living stone, and that's Jesus Christ. And in the scripture here it says two times, he is precious. He is precious, and we are the body. We are the lively stones, and he is building up in us a spiritual house. And it's so good he's building up this spiritual house. He's building it, you know, with edification and with hurt, as we just heard. But nevertheless, he's building a spiritual house in us, and it's good. And we are here today because we are tied into this living stone, the rock. And I'm not sure if you've ever seen any constructor or builders building a house, but they dig deep into the ground and they lay a foundation. And then in that foundation, they put these metal rods. And then they tie in the walls to the house and the framework of the house onto these metal rods, which connect it to the foundation of the home. And really, this is the picture that is being shown to us here. You know, our God is the rock, right? In Matthew 16, the rock, the word there is Petra in Greek. And it's an immovable rock. It's just like the picture here behind me. It is a solid rock and it rises up out of the earth. It has not been planted there. It just grew there and it has never moved. That's the word Petra. But here we see also the chief cornerstone, and this word stone in the Greek is lithos. And it is the living stone, and it is connected to the other stones. So we are the other living stones that he is connected to, the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. So anything that we are tonight, anything that we have is because of the foundation that we are tied into, and that is Jesus Christ. So Peter, he had some understanding about his place in the church and his relationship to the rock. And he gives us some insight on being lively stones connected to the living stone. And this is the key to our lives, really, to our success as soldiers on our spiritual battlegrounds. It is this connection that the enemy fears. It is this connection that we have here tonight. You know, people from all over,
you know, how many countries represented here, how many different walks of life, how many amazing, and we are connected and we are tied in to the chief cornerstone. And it is a work of God. It is a miracle. The world doesn't understand it. You know, but we do. And the enemy understands it and he fears it. And this connection keeps us, it says here, from being confounded by this world, by the atmospheric projections. And is the connection of the church tied into the rock. And this life-giving rock in turn makes us living stones connected to him and to each other. And this is the teaching really that Christ was teaching his disciples. He was instructing them in this throughout his earthly ministry. And he was telling, you are not alone. There's something great. You are connected to me. You know, and that was really his prayer in John 17, 21 through 26. You know, I in them, they and I and they and us, and we are connected. You are a part of me. And I love this story in Luke chapter 10. And you can turn there if you wish, but Luke chapter 10, 17. And I was just reading this after the awesome message we heard last night. And I just have like a different perspective on it. It's really these verses 17 through 20 in Luke 10. It's an instruction on spiritual warfare. And it is the story of the first mission team sent out, or one of the first mission teams sent out, the 70 disciples that went out. And they returned and they were saying, Lord, Lord, they returned with joy. In verse 17, they say, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And this reminds us, right, of when we go to outreach. You know, we come back and we all have a story. You know, when we go out there, we are ministering to people. We are touching people's lives with the gospel. And we come back and we can't wait to share. You know, yeah, this is what happened. And I shared and something happened in the person's heart. And we prayed. And it was the same. And it's the same like convention. We come here after 1 year and we're like, oh, this God has done some great things. And we rejoice with the brothers and sisters. And we tell stories. And we also weep together about the difficulties we go through and the trials we go through. And it's the same here. They come back, except they're rejoicing. And they're saying, Jesus, wow, even the devils are subject to us through your name. You know, this is amazing. And I love how Jesus answers. I beheld Satan as lightning, you know, fall from heaven. It was like, boom. Like the ultimate drop the mic moment, you know. Jesus, you know what, amazing, we went out there in your name and, you know, demons are subject. And I beheld Satan fall right out of heaven, you know. It's like, wow, that's amazing. And then he turned and he gave them power. He says, I give unto you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Wow, what an amazing thing to say. He gave them power over the different manifestations of demonic activity. You know, and the word power there, exousia, it's the power he gave them is an executive power, authority. I give you authority over the demonic power, which is dynamos. It's a lesser power. It's the ability or capability of the demonic atmosphere, but he said, I give you an executive power over them. And he commanded that over them. But then he said this, notwithstanding, rejoice not that the spirits are being subject unto you, but instead that your names are written in heaven. Wow, what is he saying there? He's saying, the demons being subject to you, this is normal. This is perfectly normal. We heard this morning, Pastor Sam said it. Jesus came, he beat up the devil. He had victory over the devil. He left him there on the floor and he says to us, okay, now and go and make war with him. The war is already over, like he's defeated. You know, and this is the attitude that Jesus is giving here. He says, don't be surprised they're subject to you. It's normal because you went in my name. This is expected. I am God. And I saw Satan fall out of heaven like a discarded tissue paper. You know, he said, instead, rejoice in the fact that we are connected in this unique way. that I am in you. And you don't understand this now. But I will be going to the cross, and after I finish the work that the Father has sent me to do, you will not just go in my name, but I will go with you. I will be in you in the power of the Holy Spirit. I will be with you. Wow. That's what he was saying there. You and those after you, they will be called the ecclesia, the church. The church, you will be called out, the called out ones. And you will be called out together as living stones. And you will be called out into all the world. And guess what? You're going to turn the world upside down. You're rejoicing in this. You are going to turn the world upside down. Thank you, Lord. He is in us. This is the most powerful weapon in our spiritual warfare. He is in us. Jesus said, notwithstanding all the protection, all the blessings I give you, the greatest thing is that your names are written in heaven and that we are connected and you are connected to the rock. And this makes all the difference. When we have people get the understanding of the finished work and what Christ has done in them, it changes everything. He no longer needs to bless us with executive power because he's in us. A couple of weeks ago, in closing here, we handed out 19 certificates to our Bible college students who finished their first year in Bible school. And we had amazing testimonies, and I was so blessed. We have some Persian people that are coming to know the Lord. And three of them went through the year's course, and they will be baptized coming up in our next month. And one of them, yeah, praise the Lord, hallelujah. One of them gave this, you know, brand new believer, she gave this testimony, amazing. And she said, before I met the church, I had problems in my life. I had family problems. I was living in anxiety. I had issues in my life. And then I met the church, and I still have problems. But, she said, I have a new perspective now. You know I can trust in God. Like, I know I can trust in God for my problems. In my heart, she said, I know I'm okay. You know, what was she saying? She's saying, I am connected. I am a lively stone, and there is a precious living stone that has come into my life. And he is a cornerstone, and he ties me into the rock. And I believe in him, and I am no longer confounded by the schemes of the enemy. The problems are still there, but somehow they don't matter. Somehow the connection is greater. And it is a finished work perspective. We know what it is. You know, and we have tasted that the Lord is gracious. We have tasted that the connection that we lay aside all those things in the first verse. We lay them aside in 1 Peter 2:1 because we have found something greater, the chief cornerstone. And he deals with the natural things, the envies, the jealousies, the evil speakings. He deals with it. And we just enjoy the connection. And this is what's happening here this evening. This is what's happening here this week. We are getting further connected to the living stone, so we will no longer be confounded. Amen. Amen.
All right, would you all stand and welcome Pastor Shabelli?
Never going back. Wow. Thank you. Thank you for the messages. Great messages. And that's like a top off, like I'm never going back. 1 Peter chapter 2. Pastor James was looking at my notes. I was wondering, he has this ability to look this way over. And he's like using the very verses I was like going to use. So I'm switching up. No, not much, but great message and great convention. And thank you, Pastor Schaller, for your leadership. You're an amazing man of God, an amazing pastor. And it's great. We have great leadership in the ministry here, and it's really a privilege to be a part of it. And 1 Peter chapter 2, I want us to look at verse 11. And this is a great verse. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers. And this means they are really aliens here. You know, people talk about aliens and whatnot. Well, we are actually aliens. Strangers and pilgrims. Pilgrims means wanderers with no home. Alien, what a combination, aliens and wanderers. Abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. So Father, thank you tonight. Thank you for the finished work. Thank you for Jesus, my rock. Say that, Jesus, my rock. He's our rock, but he's my rock. We thank you for you are a personal strength and security for us. You are immovable. Immovable. We can build confidence in God who is the rock. We thank you. We pray that you give us an ear to hear, that our minds would not be distracted, that we would concentrate. And we thank you for this night, for this convention here. And just bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you were to take that verse alone, strangers, aliens, and pilgrims, wanderers, you could begin to think to yourself, wait a minute, now this is not going to be easy. But he says some amazing things about the people of God before that. Beginning, first of all, with describing who Jesus is in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. And I was thinking of three things. He's living, he's chosen, and he's precious. He's living. He gives us life. He's chosen. The world can refuse and reject him. But not only is he chosen, but he's chosen us. Ephesians 1, 4 through 6. We've been chosen by him. And you know, by the way, do you know when you were chosen before the foundation of the world? Like, what is there to worry about? I've been in God's mind forever. I mean, think about that. We've been in the mind of God forever. And I'm worried about gas prices. I'm thinking about finances. I'm thinking about health. I'm thinking about all that's going on in the world with difficulties and whatnot. I've been in him before the foundation of the world. I've been in his mind. He had forethought, the eternal thoughts of God. God didn't just say, hey, look, the day I was born. Look at that. 1940, I'm not going to tell you when. 1940, look at that. Like he was born. God knew eternally all about you and all about me. He knew that we would make the choice. And it's amazing how the enemy tries to steal that truth from us so that he can try to infect us with anxiety, fear, human reason, and doubt. Anxiety, fear, human reason, and doubt. Anxiety is that thought pattern that takes me away from God's thinking. Okay? Fear, running away from the nature of God. Doubt, standing in two places. That's what it means. Human reason, natural thinking, bringing that into even into Christianity. But I've been in him. And he says that not only is he living, chosen, and precious, but we are lively stones. This is just so interesting, and I'm just going to go through this quickly. Think about, this is who God says we are. I was almost thinking about that song, I Know Who I Am. You know, we are lively stones, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. We offer spiritual sacrifice, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, the people of God, and then dearly beloved. He says all that before he says you're strangers and pilgrims. And this gives me the foundation to be a person who is maybe alien based upon who God is and a person that's wandering. I think it's amazing. So often we think kind of backwards. I was thinking as I wrote, was writing something here, and I love this. We spent many years in Massachusetts working with people who had tremendous addictions. We worked in three prisons. We had a home called the Life House for people. And people would say, wow, you spent a lot of time working with people that were down and out. I said, our objective was to get people to see that they're up and in. They're not down and out. We are. Say it. I'm up and in. I'm never down and out. You know, the devil's the only one who's down and out. He went down and he's out. Right? He's down and out. I'm never going to be down and out. I'm an up and inner. Okay? We have all these millennial slogans and stuff that's out in the atmosphere. I have no idea what any of it means, and I don't even care. You know? I'm an up and inner. I'm up and in. And Peter is telling us something that I think is really amazing. He says, and the key word is, we are precious. And there's the Hebrew and the Greek word really mean that I have great value to God. Say that to yourself. I have great value. Do you ever speak to yourself? Forget about people talking to us. We're to edify people, but when there's no edification coming, I just say, I have great value. Hello? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Like, hey, I'm precious to God. I'm amazing. I'm in Him. I'm dear to God. This is what the word means. Dear, precious, of great value. He esteems me. Highly precious. This is how God sees me. One of the biggest problems we have is not even that sometimes the devil doesn't even have to assault somebody's mind. It's just the way they evaluate themselves. They evaluate themselves outside of the finished work. And they don't see themselves as up and in. They see themselves as down and out. They don't see themselves as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. I like peculiar. That's a very interesting word. There's some peculiar people around. Okay? Very peculiar and unusual. We are peculiar people. But Peter uses this word over and over again, and it's this word precious. And there's a lot of things that people think and believe are precious in this world. And in all reality, maybe it is to them, but it's not what we would call precious to God. Think about it. God says redemption is precious. Psalm 49, verse 8. The redemption of your soul is precious and it ceases forever. He says the body is precious. Psalm 133. Hello? The body is precious, like precious ointment coming down. The church is precious to God. That's awesome. He said in 1 Samuel 3, 1, His word is precious. God's word is precious. This is called a Bible for millennials. This is a Bible that has pages and you can read it. And when you write and read, you have a great opportunity to remember things rather than a push button Christianity. Please don't think I'm saying anything that I shouldn't. I don't, whatever. People say, that's your old school. No, it's called Bible school. Call it what you want. I'll call it Bible school. This book is precious. Amen? This is a precious book. We live our lives based upon this book. How precious it is. Psalm 139, verse 17 says, God's thoughts are what? Precious. When I think a thought outside of God's thoughts, that doesn't have any value. It's not precious. God's thoughts are always precious. Can you imagine this? Thinking about this verse right now. Love thinks no evil. Hello? Can you imagine that God never thought one evil thought ever? I don't care what you've done, where you've been, who you are, what you're doing, where you're going, and what you will do, God never thinks evil of me. He cannot think evil of us. All right? Maybe when I am walking outside of God's nature, I grieve the Holy Spirit. The word is lupeo, and it means I suffer loss, and God doesn't have fellowship with me, but He doesn't think evil. He who knew no sin became sin. So His thoughts are what? Precious. Precious thoughts. And there was something that happened in Peter's life that changed him. When he began to see how precious God Himself was. And when we don't see things as precious like the Bible and the body and the blood and our calling and our purpose and the church, we begin to develop a familiar spirit, which is something that takes place where things become like I can take it or leave it, or it's very common. It really means nothing. And it's not precious at all anymore. It doesn't have great value. I don't highly esteem it. I don't look at it in that way. It's not dear and very costly to me. It's incredible. I remember the first car I got that was very valuable to me. It was a 1964 Chevy Nova. Blue, just like my Jeep. Same thing. That, you know, that was precious. Then all of a sudden, you know, we had a house that was one car and eight people. Then a few years later, there was eight cars with eight people. And cars did not become or have the value they used to have. And you know, the first one can have an amazing value. It's precious, right? And Peter learned something. This word, this meant something to him. He saw so many things as precious. Before, it was kind of like you could look at it in a very common way, in a very natural way. I think about Pastor Stevens sometimes, and I think about how precious he was to us. Amen? How precious he was. How valuable he was. What an amazing man of God he was. And I don't want to hear anything else, okay? I don't care. You know, you want to hear about my failures and my problems, as Pastor, can I call you Samuel, right? Said, like, I don't want to hear about that. I look at, you know what? Isn't it great to remember the awesome things that people have done and not remember their situations that didn't somehow make you feel so happy? I want to remember those things that are godly and spiritual, all right? I don't want to remember something else, because God doesn't remember. People do one thing that God can't do. They can remember what God forgot. It's incredible. But Peter saw something as very valuable, very precious. I think the Moses family, I was looking at there was five of you up here, right? Yeah, I think you're very precious, very valuable. Like, really. And I think you have great value and preciousness towards each other. Isn't that great? We have a society that says do away with unborn children that are not born, and let's get rid of the old people. Well, I begin to wonder about that as you start approaching a certain age. You know, I never thought much about it. And then I thought to myself the other day, like, I said to Linda, we're 70. Wow, what's going on here? What's happening here? And that's Chinese birth age, because it's always 9 months. I always wondered about that. Like, if abortion is murder, then doesn't your life start then? So at 9 months, you're not like, you know, 1 year old. When you're 1 year old, you're already 9 months. I like that system. Okay? But Peter saw something as very valuable. And it's not valuable to people anymore. Like, just, you know, just get rid of it. It doesn't have any value to us as a society. We're all about young, strong, smart, educated, technologically advanced, incredible millennials, or whatever you call them. And God's going like, wow, really? This child is valuable to me. Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. That people, you know, honoring people with gray hair and even those who diet. That's okay. Peter saw something as precious. He kept using this word over and over. Something had great value. Maybe before, those things were not valuable to him. They were not dear to him. They were not seen as being costly. And he didn't see it that way. But all of a sudden, something happened in his life. And this is what I want to have happening in my life all the time, that I see tremendous value and how costly and how dear, precious that people are. God himself is. People are. The finished work. I mean, I've just been thinking about the finished work, that God did it forever. Amen? Isn't that amazing? It is finished. Hello? Imagine that. You don't have to do another thing, but believe it and receive it. It's something that was eternal, that took place in time. I'm in Christ. Say that. I'm in Christ. I'm in Him. I can never be taken out. What value that is. The blood of Christ. Peter said, and I love it. He said in 1 Peter 1:19, the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, Satan hates that. He hates the blood. And dealing with witchcraft in some countries. Just all you got to do is talk about the Bible and the blood and watch demons run. Oh yeah, you can just, boom, they're out of there. Say the blood in the Bible. Goodbye. Gone. He says the blood is precious. He said in 1 Peter 1:7, he said the trial. Oh boy, here's a good one. I don't know if I like this one all the time. The trial of your faith is more. Wait a minute. What does that say? The trial of my faith is more precious than gold. Trials are what? Give them a big hug. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm not saying we have to like it, but it's precious. Don't like it, love it. It draws me near to God. The trial of my faith is more precious than gold. Wow. I mean, if I just keep thinking in my mind about tests and trials, and then I become a test and trial pattern of thinking in my mind, that's all I think about, and that's all I project out of my mouth, and the demons go, yeah, thank you for projecting out what we send in. And what ends up happening is that becomes the mindset, and it becomes my relationship with people. I say the trial of my faith is more precious than gold. Bernard of Clairvaux, when he was put to the stake, they put tar all over him and lit it on fire. And he grabbed the stake and said, thank you, O Lord Jesus, the instrument that will bring me into your heavenly arms today. Now, that's a little off the wall, I know. But that's just what I read, okay? And that's just the way he hugged it. Like, you're the instrument. The trial of our faith is more precious than gold. And then he says three times, 2:6, 2:4, 2:5, and 2:6, and 2:7, he says, unto you who believe, he is what? Precious. What happens when Jesus has not become precious anymore? Then organization takes place. Something takes place that there is no real life. But unto you who believe, he is what? He is precious. God is precious, and if I'm not careful, some things can take the place of God's preciousness in my life. And I can find this having value and that having value. But unto you who believe, he is what? Precious. He said it three times, he is precious. We believe that. Hello? Oh, my calling, you know. I realize one thing which is great. I'm not my calling. I'm not my job. I'm not my culture. I'm not my finances, I'm not my health, I'm not my past, I'm not my sin, I'm not my old sin nature, okay? I'm not my education. Who do you think you are anyway? I know who I am. Isn't that good? I know who I am. I'm precious to God. And Peter said it, unto you who believe, he is precious. And what an awesome statement that is. Then 2 Peter 1:1, he says, we have like precious faith. And then 2 Peter 1:4, there are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. The world is not precious to me. People are. Souls are. How about the gospel? Whatever happened to the gospel, by the way? Can I say that? Huh? Whatever happens to the gospel? He goes forth bearing precious seed. What kind of seed? Will doubtless come again, bringing his sheaves with him. The seed is precious. The gospel is precious. You know, somebody said at the rate we're going in Christianity, soul winning will be something that's outdated. And one day there'll be a statue of a man with a Bible in the track, and they'll be mocking it, saying, that's the way it used to be. Yeah, no evangelism at all. The gospel is what? Precious. How valuable. A husband sees a wife as, my wife is precious to me. Are you with me? Hello? I mean, she's not precious to you, she's precious to me. It doesn't matter. Oh, yeah. Whatever. And I should be precious to her. Anybody that could be with me since 1965 must be something. Because I don't even, in my old sin nature, I hate myself. You know, how the heck did anybody live that long or be around me? Don't agree with that too quickly. Okay. Precious. Your children are what? Precious. Grandchildren are precious. Right? The church is precious. Believers in the body are precious. I'm not going to concentrate on their old sin nature. I'm going to concentrate on the precious person that they are in Christ. Amen? Situations are precious. Okay? Our country is what? Precious. It's America the Beautiful. I love it. It's a precious country. If it wasn't for the United States of America, the gospel, 90% of all missionaries came from this country. And 90% of all mission money came out of here. I don't care about the... You can go talking about all the other stuff that's going on, the problems. I'll talk about the gospel. I'll talk about what's precious. Okay? Are you with me? It's valuable. There's great value. There's value in people. There's value in people in France. Pastor Tex, he knows that. There's value. There's value to people in Eastern Europe and Asia and China and Africa and South America. We see them as having great value. There's nothing more valuable than a human being. They've been made in the image of God. Are you with me? The value. And we get so caught up in, oh, this, and there's nothing wrong with it, but this house, this car, this, that. And we see them, but guess what? I don't see any of those things being taken to heaven. Hello? Only what's going is the body and the souls that we win. That's the end. Hello? It's not going. Right? I remember one time I was standing next to this very powerful politician at a funeral. And we were looking at the casket lowered into the hole. I said, I wouldn't want to be you without Christ going down there. Well, he looked at me like I was like scum of the earth. And I just said, like, God loves you. I don't care how powerful you are. To God, that's not precious. What's precious is your life. Your soul. This is precious. It's amazing. God, help us to see that way. I don't want Satan projecting at me. And by the way, he did it to Jesus. He showed him the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. That's Luke chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 4. And the word he used there, he used the word stigme, which is in a moment he tried to puncture Jesus' mind with a projection. In other words, it's some people believe this, Kenneth Weiss, I've read commentaries. He showed them every kingdom of the world from the beginning to the end in 1 second. The word moment, 1 second, he showed it to them. Why? Just to get him to think one wrong thought. And it didn't work, praise the Lord. Amen? Because Jesus knew what was precious, his Father's voice. He knew our souls. Our souls. He knew the cross. He knew his blood. He knew his word. He knew his life. He knew his gospel. This is what's precious. May we be a people, as I close, that are drawn to what God sees as precious. And let all the other stuff kind of just disappear. Just disappear. Because we're up and in. We are up and in. And that's precious. That's the blood. Unto you who believe, he is precious. Amen? Father, thank you tonight for the preciousness of God himself. We find amazing value in Jesus Christ. He is dear to us. We esteem him. Highly exalt him. Thank you. Because of who he is and what he's done, today I know who I am. I know who I am. And even the passing on of saints, precious in the sight of the Lord, is the death of his saints. It's precious. It's precious. 116:18, Psalm 116:18. Precious. Wow, the Bible is precious. Family is precious. Lost souls are precious to God. People are precious to God. Made them in his own image. Solomon, even when he was living in failure, was precious to God. Luke 15, backslider, precious to his father. It's amazing. Woman at a well, precious. Nicodemus, precious. Man with an infirmity of 38 years, precious. Woman caught in adultery, she's precious. Thank you. Thank you, God. He saw all of these as precious. Abraham in the Ur of the Chaldeans, picked out, he was precious to God. David, from a shepherd boy to a king, he was precious. Valuable to God. Dear to God. Thank you, God. You call us dearly beloved. Thank you, God. This is how you see us. We can be strangers and pilgrims because we are lively stones, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, the people of God, and dearly beloved. That's who we are. I'm up and in. I am who He says I am. And I will be what He makes me to be. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Just lift your hands to God. Stand up. Let's stand up and thank Him. Say, thank you for seeing me as precious. Thank you for seeing me as precious. Help me to see through the Spirit what is precious. The life, the calling of God, the purpose of God. Precious. The person standing next to me, they are precious in God's eyes. May they be precious in our eyes continually. It doesn't matter what's taking place, what's going on. They are precious. They are precious. Jesus saw someone who was persecuting the church as precious in Acts 9. He saw Cornelius as precious, as a Gentile. He saw John Mark, who was backslidden, as precious. He saw Lot as precious. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for how you see. Thank you, Jesus. We pray that you would help us, God. God, unto you who believe, He is precious. Precious word, precious souls, precious church, precious body, precious redemption, precious finished work, precious blood, precious life, precious calling, precious purpose, precious ministry. Thank you, God. Precious gifts. A gift is a precious stone. Proverbs 17:8. Precious stone. Gift. Gifts from God. Thank you, God. Help us, Jesus, to see as you see. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.